Let's open the pages of the Word tonight, and we'll just got a few thoughts tonight for us. Really continue with what we started with last week. We began this a new teaching series last Wednesday night, really based on what I heard the Lord say to me just several weeks ago as I was praying about a theme for the year and a word from God. You know, that word was, said this last week, just those three words, come up higher. And I believe that God wants us to come up higher, come to a new level, that we rise in faith, in we rise in our experience of God himself. And that he's always calling us on, he's always leading us high, he's leading us deeper. And we've touched on this from various scriptures over the last few weeks. You know, and I really, as I was thinking about this message, certainly for this early part of the year, and I'm thinking about this come up high, and I was reminded of and I did share this last week, of a hotel that I went into. You know, since last week, I've been trying to rack my brains to think where this place was that I went. And I thought of all the places I've been to over the last few years. And thinking, it wasn't that hotel, it wasn't that. But which I can't think whereabouts it was. But I certainly saw this, and as I said last week, I went into this hotel. And you had to go down a flight of half a dozen or so stairs before you could go any higher up to the upper levels. All the lifts and the staircases were down a flight of steps. You know, that made it difficult for carrying cases. You know, I don't like carrying cases at the best of times. Normally I have to bump them up and down steps and things. And I like to just go straight into a lift and up the sort of room. Going down those stairs in order to go up gave me the title for this series of studies, which, as you might remember I said last week, was the first step up is down. You know, and that's the essence of this series of teaching that we've begun doing. You know, in order that we might come up higher, we first must learn to take a step down. Because the first step is down. And we looked at last week, if you remember, we looked about the man who was invited to a wedding feast. And in that parable, Jesus taught that, you know, he said you shouldn't take the higher seats in case somebody more important comes in, or a special guest comes in, or a VIP person comes in, and you're asked to take the lower chairs. And then with shame, you have to move down lower. He says, but when you go in, he says, take the lower place. He says, so then the master of the feast can say, friend, come up higher. And that's the scripture I was using as the theme, come up higher, go higher. Yeah, we looked at that parable and we looked at some other things about humbling ourselves and taking that step down, so that God might exalt us. And we had that great scripture, we read it and we touched on it last week. You know, where it says of Jesus in Philippians 2 that, yes, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death, or the death of the cross. And it goes on and says, therefore God has exalted him, how highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every other name. Also last week we looked at several other scriptures, and in our study last week, just by way of a reminder, we said to be humble is to be submissive, or to surrender to someone higher or greater than us. It's not as a lot of people think. You think, well, they think they're being humble by making themselves so insignificant, so poor, so unworthy. And you hear it in their prayers, or that they debase themselves to the point where they make themselves so little. You know, the scripture says this. I did mean to look it up. In one scripture it says that we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. That means we ought to think ourselves at a certain level. You know, to bring ourselves lower than that is not good. And then to take ourselves higher than that isn't good either. You know, there is an acceptable way we should view. And I want to suggest that the way we look at it is find out what God says about us. If what God says about us has got to be right. It can't be up more higher than we should do, and it certainly won't be lower than what we should be thinking. So humility is not measured in what we say or what we do, but in whether we submit ourselves to God and what he says about us. You know, when we humble ourselves, we are exalted. That's another scripture we looked at last week. That God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, and he exalts and lifts us up. You know, that raising can only come when we take a step down and we submit to God and we surrender to him. Now, while we can look at various, we will be looking at some various biblical characters over the course of this series of teaching, but Jesus is our ultimate example. And I want us to look at a scripture tonight which actually features two men. It features Jesus and it features a man called John. And that's in Matthew chapter 3. You know, Jesus is our example, our ultimate example. You know, as we just said a minute ago, you know, we saw last week in Philippians that Jesus humbled himself and he surrendered to his Father's will. You know, Jesus' own testimony was this, that he only did and said what he saw. Everything he did, he says, the Father has told me to do it. Everything he said, the Father's said this to me. You know, he always lifted up the Father. And because of that, God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every other name. Now, tonight, there's just a few thoughts I want us to think and try not be too long. But in Matthew chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse 13 through to the end of the chapter. 13 to 17. And it says here in the scripture, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighted upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now in that passage of scripture there, we read that Jesus came to John at the River Jordan to be baptized by him. Now there's four things I want us to look at tonight from these four verses. And the first one is this. Jesus did not need to be baptized. You know, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And as Jesus was sinless, he had no sin, he had nothing to repent of, he didn't need to be baptized. He didn't need to go down into the Jordan River. He didn't need to go through the waters of baptism. There was nothing in Jesus that required him to do that. But it says that Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Why? Well, we'll look at that in just a minute. So that's the first thing we need to know, is that Jesus did not need to be baptized at all. But he came to be baptized. The second thing we see from this reading is in verse 14. And it says here, in verse 14, it says that John tried to prevent him. You know, John tries to prevent Jesus from being baptized. Quite a few translations of the Bible put it like this. In the Amplified translation, it says he protested strenuously. This is John the Baptist. He protested strenuously. The contemporary English version says that he objected. The King James puts it like this. He forbade him. Today's English version says he tried to make him change his mind. You know, John did his best to try and get Jesus to change it. He says, Jesus, and let me read it. He says, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? You know what John's reasoning behind his statement was this. He says, Jesus says, I'm not worthy to baptize you. I need to be baptized by you. He says, yet you are coming to me. You know, I'm not worthy. Now, it doesn't actually say that in the scriptures, but that's really the bottom line of where he's coming from. You know, I shouldn't be baptizing you because I'm not worthy. You know, I should be baptized. How do I know that's what his heart was? Well, if you back up to verse 11, I know we didn't read it a little while ago. But really, it's this thought's just coming out of the overflow of his heart. You know, because what's in his heart in verse 11 is this. And he's speaking. He's speaking to those that come out. This is before Jesus came to the Jordan. He says, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who's coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You know, he's got this, he said, look, I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. I'm not worthy to carry his shoes. You know, that's where John is at. He thinks himself unworthy of that position. And then when Jesus actually comes to him, he says, because that's what's in his heart, that's the way he's thinking, that's the way he's talking to people, he's telling them, it just comes out as he's facing Jesus. And Jesus, he says, Lord, I'm not worthy to baptize you. He says, it should be the other way around. You should be baptizing me. So, number two, he tries to prevent him. He tries to get him to change his mind. He tries to get him to step back from this act of baptism. But Jesus answers John's outburst in verse 15. He says, permit it to be so now. Permit it to be so now. Number three, what is Jesus telling John to do? In light of what our study is about, what he's telling John, he says, just take a step down. Step back, take step down. He says, humble yourself and submit to this request. Just do what I'm asking you to do. Without any objections, without any arguments, just do what I'm asking you to do. Permit it to be so now. You know, John had all the arguments as to why he shouldn't do it. Why it should be the other way around. Why it should be Jesus baptizing him. But Jesus says, look, John, he says, just let it be. Step down, step back, you know, humble yourself, just do what I'm asking. He says, Thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, it's the right and the proper way to fulfill righteousness. And I want us to look at that verse, verse 14, just a little bit more closely. Sorry, verse 15. Because there's two words used in verse 15, which I want us just to spend a couple of minutes just examining. The first word is the word it. For thus it is fitting. A very small word. You almost read over it. It's like an incidental word in the scriptures. You know, you can pass it by and not even notice it. And the second one is, again, another small word, and it's the word us. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Well, let's look at the second one first. Let's look at us. Who is Jesus talking about? He's standing, he's looking at John, and he says, John, he says, look, he says, I want you to do this for me now. Just do what I'm asking you to do. He says, because it's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. He's talking about himself and he's talking about John. The two of them that are there. Jesus and John, now the us in that verse. Again, I'll just give you another translation here. It says, this is the Amplified again, a version I like to read from. It says, this is the fitting way for both of us to fulfill all righteousness. That is to perform completely whatever is right. It's fitting for both of us. Or it's a fitting way for both of us to fulfill all righteousness. That is to perform completely whatever is right. You know, Jesus was saying to John that this was necessary for them both to fulfill righteousness or to fulfill their duty to God. I've got a number of translations written down for this verse, and I'll read them through. In Moffat's translation of the Bible, it says this. It says, this is how we should fulfill all our duty to God. Similarly, Williams' translation of the New Testament puts it like this. For this is the fitting way for both of us to do our full duty to God. An American translator called Goodspeed, he puts it like this. He says, it's right for us to do everything that God requires. It's right for us to do everything that God requires. So Jesus is talking to John. He's saying, look, he says, this is, just do what I'm asking you to do. He says, because this is necessary for us to fulfill our responsibilities, our duties to God, to fulfill righteousness. Righteousness. So what's he talking about? Well, that brings us on to the word it. For thus it is necessary. What is that duty? What is it that we must do to fulfill our duty to God? Now, here Jesus is, where is he? He stood by the Jordan River. He's come down to John to be baptized. And John tries to stop him and he says, look, he said, Jesus, it should be you that's baptizing me, not me baptizing you. But Jesus says, look, John, he says, I want you to do this. Permit it to be so now. I want you to do what I'm asking you to do. Well, is it our duty then, can we say from this verse that duty is baptism? I want to ask a question then. If it's baptism, why then didn't Jesus baptize John? John baptized Jesus, but it didn't work the other way up. Jesus didn't baptize John in return. If it was necessary for them both to fulfill the duty of their duty to God, why didn't Jesus reciprocate that? Well, I want to suggest that Jesus isn't talking about baptism here. Jesus didn't need to be baptized. What I want to suggest is, it's Jesus talking about submitting to God, submitting to what God requires from us, submitting to His will, submitting to His ways. That's how we fulfill righteousness. Jesus had to submit to the Father's will and be baptized. Not because He needed to do, because He didn't need to be baptized, because He was sinless. But He had to submit to His Father's will. Because if Jesus wasn't baptized, then He couldn't ask or expect anybody else to come after Him to be baptized. Even though He didn't need it, He had to submit to what God required. John, on the other hand, he needed to be baptized, but what he had to do was learn to submit to Jesus. He had to submit to God and do what God wanted him to do. It should have been the other way around, but John had to learn submission. I want us to turn, let me just keep a thumb in Matthew there. I want us to turn over to the book of Romans. There's a verse in the book of Romans which really just underlines, I think, what I've just been saying. Romans 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And it says here, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What is our reasonable service? What is our duty? It's to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. In other words, it's a life that's surrendered and submitted to God. And that's our reasonable service. That's our duty. That's what God requires of us, that we submit to Him. That's what the scriptures we read last week. You know, submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. Submit to God. We read it, three or four or five verses last week, all saying the same sort of thing. Submit to God. And He will raise you up. He will exalt you. He will lift you up. You know, if we want to be raised up, if we want to come up higher, we've got to learn to take a step down. We've got to learn to submit and be in submission and surrender to God. Now, in our reading here in Matthew's Gospel, we've seen, one, Jesus didn't need to be baptized. John tries to prevent Him, two. Three, Jesus says to him, look, He says, you've got to do this in order to fulfill righteousness. Not baptize Him, but submit to what God wants. Submit to what I'm asking you to do. Submit to my request. In order that you might fulfill righteousness. In order that you might perform your reasonable service, your duty to God. You know, you present your bodies or you present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Then number four, we see that John actually did take a step down. Because it says there in verse 15, it says, then he allowed him. Then he allowed him. John baptizes Jesus. Now something remarkable happens when Jesus is baptized, and it says that John, well actually, it doesn't actually say this in the scripture, but it does actually say, I think it says it in Acts when talking about Philip going into the water. It says that they step down into the water. John physically took a step down, went down into the water. But he took a step down in submission to Jesus. And what actually happened here, it says, when he had been baptized, this is verse 16, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. As Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens opened. You know, and the Holy Spirit comes down. It's like a dove alighting on the head of Jesus. They see this bird coming down. And John sees the Holy Spirit coming down in that form of a dove. John hears the voice of the Father speaking. And it's at this moment in time when John sees the dove, or John sees the Holy Spirit, that God raises him up, God lifts him up, God exalts him. Humble ourselves, if we take a step down, God will raise us up. Now what do I mean by God exalted John, God raised him up? Well, he'd seen with his eyes something that God had revealed to him at a previous occasion. And I want to, just as we finish tonight, and so that won't be long, just turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. Because in John's Gospel, this is before Jesus comes to him at the Jordan River. John 1, verse 29. Well, what we're actually going to read is after Jesus is baptized, but what is said here is referring to what happened before. John looks back. So John 1:29 says here, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Again the next day John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. See, at an earlier occasion in his life, John had revealed to him by God, he says, that the one on whom you see the Holy Spirit descend, the one on whom you see the Holy Spirit come upon him, he says, this is the one who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, John, on two occasions in that chapter one there, he says, I didn't know him. Now, John knew him as a person because they were family, they were related. But maybe some things were hidden from him, because John says, I didn't know. But then when Jesus was baptized and he saw the Holy Spirit come down, you know, God had already said to him, on the one on whom you see the Holy Spirit, this is the one. This is the man. So now John's able to say with conviction, say, look, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. This is the one. This is the one on whom you, that's what he started to do there. He says, he began to point people to Jesus. Look, he says, behold the Lamb of God. The next day he saw another, he says, look, he says, the Lamb of God. And his two disciples went and joined and followed after Jesus. You know, God elevated him in his ministry. He begins to point men and women to Jesus. You know, he gets to that stage where he learns the lesson to be submissive to God. You know, where, because it goes on in chapter 3, he says, you know, he's got to increase, I've got to decrease. I've got to allow him to have the preeminence in my life. You know, Jesus made some remarkable statements about John. And we will finish with this verse. If we just go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Because I said that God elevated John. God raised him up. And in Matthew 11 we read, starting at verse 7, 7 through to 15. Just listen to some of these words that Jesus spoke concerning John. This is the same man that, as we've just read, has baptized him. The same man that was hesitant to do that, that Jesus said to him, look, he says, permit it to be so for now. You know, just do what I'm asking you to do. Submit to this request. And if we humble ourselves under God, he will exalt us. It says, listen to this, verse 7. It says, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he, talking about John, is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, Jesus said some remarkable things about John there. He says that he's the greatest of the prophets. You know, there was no one greater. And you think back all through all the prophets. Think people like Elijah that called down fire from heaven. Elisha who had a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Other prophets. You know, I've been reading through in the scriptures, through Jeremiah. Read some of the things that he said. People like Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, who prophesied the coming of the Messiah, who prophesied the birth of Jesus. Then there are other prophets, people like Micah, Obadiah, Jonah, Nahum, the prophet Habakkuk. All those prophets that, you know, we read them in the scriptures, we read about them, we think, well, you know, they did some great things. You know, God was with them. Yet Jesus says, look, John is the greatest. He says, yet the person who's least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Then he said something about John. He says, look, John, he is Elijah who is to come. You know, all the Jews believed that Elijah would come before the Messiah. They were looking for the coming of Elijah again, because they believed that Elijah would come and prepare the way. Well, he'd open up the way. You know, even in, I believe I'm right, in the Passover, you know, a place is prepared for Elijah. When they sit round the Passover table, they leave an empty seat for Elijah, because they believe in Elijah's going to come. Elijah's going to come and take his place. And Jesus says, look, he says, is Elijah. He's the one you've been looking for, because he's the one who's preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. He's the one that's announcing the coming of the Messiah. So Jesus is lifting John up. He's raised him up. He's elevated him to a position far higher than what John thought he had when he was stood back at the Jordan. You know, those who humble themselves under God, God will exalt them. So where does that leave us now? Well, let's learn the lesson of submission. You know, we should submit to God. Submit to what God requires of us. You know, do what God would have us do. And there's no other real demands. Well, I mean, there are laws. We know that there are laws, and the scripture says things, but You know, the greatest of those is that we, what does it say, we love God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, with everything we've got, we submit and surrender to Him. That's the greatest. And that's what God wants from us. Our submission and our surrender. And that's what we did when we got saved. We laid it down at the altar. We said, God, You, this is me. This is what I am. I give it to You. I surrender to You. Submit to You. Do what You want to do. It's not about being unworthy. Now, we don't deserve, because anything that we get, that's good from God. But that doesn't mean, say, we should live in that undeserving, unworthy state. Because Jesus gave us everything. He gave His life for us. What He requires that we submit to Him. Yes, we're... Ian, you hear it prayed very often, and people think they're being humble when they say it. They say, well, I'm just an old sinner that's been saved. Yeah, we might have been sinners. Yes, we were saved, but the Bible doesn't call us that anymore. The Bible calls us sons. We're the sons of God. And the world's waiting for the manifestation of the sons. It's not waiting for sinners that have been done up, for want of a better word. It's waiting for the sons. We're the sons of God. We were sinners, but now we're sons. You know, and they make it out to be so almost like humble-like, you know. Oh, well, I'm not worthy. I'm just a sinner. I'm just this, just... That's not the way God sees us. To be humble is to see us the way God sees us, to submit to His world, submit to His word, submit to His ways. When we do that, God will raise us up. So the first step up is to learn submission, to take a step down. Be like John, step down and let God be God. Amen.